All right, amen. If you would, please be seated. Get out your Bibles. And open up first, if you would, to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. It's good to be with all of you this morning. While the band is getting situated, I want to make a comment about that song. I hope you can sing that song with Romans chapter 8, verse 16 in mind. You're singing a song about being a child of God, being a saint of God, being redeemed, being forgiven, being washed in His blood, and so on and so forth, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 16. This is not what I'm preaching on, but I was thinking about this while we were singing it. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of who? Of God." Folks, there's a line in that song that says, "We are the saints." You need to understand, you're a saint. If you're a believer, if you've trusted the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, are you a saint of the Most High God? You absolutely are a saint of the Most High God, right? You can sing that song about being a child of God with some authority and some conviction, knowing that's who you are. Okay? Anyway, Romans chapter 14. We're going to continue this morning our series of studies on the issue of bodybuilding, specifically on the topic of corrupt communication. Specifically on the topic of corrupt communication. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 19. This has sort of been the text verse now for this second segment of our bodybuilding series. The first segment of our bodybuilding series, it was that verse in Romans 12 talking about how we're members one of another, and we looked at the one anotherings. This second segment has been really based upon this verse, verse 19. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another." And so we see there, again, the issue of one anothering in that verse, but we've been talking about things that make for peace, things amongst believers, relational things among believers that make for peace and that edify, because as members of the body of Christ, members in particular, members one of another, we are to be endeavoring to be edifying each other and building each other up and not tearing each other down, and so forth. Come with me to Ephesians 4. The reality is that a lot of the things that don't make for peace, a lot of the things that make for arguments and hard feelings and so on and so forth amongst believers are related to the things that we say, are related to the issue of corrupt communication, are related to the issues of evil speaking. And Paul deals with this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. So if you put together in your mind Romans 14, 19, about following after the things that make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another, one of the things that should be put away far from us is the issue of corrupt communication. Because corrupt communication is not good for the use of edifying. Paul makes a contrast in that verse. It's not good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. One of the things that we should be asking ourselves constantly in our speech is what I'm saying ministering grace? Is how I'm saying it ministering grace? I was talking with a saint just this morning about how they've been talking to some people about right division and about some dispensational things, and there's been some heat and hostility that they're experiencing back from a particular individual, and it's discouraging. It's discouraging to believe something and believe it's the truth and to have it and so forth, and you're trying to communicate it and have people understand it, and for them to not want it, and not only not want it, but be hostile toward you in their not wanting it, it's hard. It's tough, right? But we need to make sure that what we're saying and the manner in which we're saying it is to minister grace. And I'll be the first to stand up here and say that when I am in discussion with people, it's easy to get caught in the flesh trap of feeling like you have to win the argument, okay? Rather than winning the person over to the thing that I think is what? The truth, right? There's a difference between those things. There's a difference between persuading and convincing and having them see it, right? There's that famous sort of statement, Brother Jordan says it all the time, that a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion what? Still, do you want somebody to go along with you just to get you off their back? Or do you want them to go along with you because they see the truth of what you're saying? Right? And so the issue of corrupt communication and ministering grace is a big deal for us as believers. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all what? Malice. Notice how the only thing you can control is you. You can't control the other person. You can't control what they say. You can't control how they respond. You have no control over that. What you have control over is who? Is you, yourself, your reaction, okay? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath what? Forgiven you. So the issue there of evil, in verse 29 and verse 31, the issue of evil speaking, the issue of corrupt communication, are things that do not make for peace among the brethren, and they are things that do not edify. In two Sundays, go back to chapter 4, verse 25, we talked about the issue of lying. In verse 25 there it says, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man the truth his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I want to say this again for the third time. Why should believers not lie? Believers should not lie, not because we're under the law, but believers should not lie because we're members what? One of another. We're one anothering here, right? That's why we should not lie. Lying should be put away, and we should speak what? The truth. How should you speak the truth? Verse 15, but speaking the truth how? In love, right? So yeah, you speak the truth, but you speak the truth in love, right? You speak the truth in a way that's going to hopefully build up, even when you're dealing with that person that's giving you trouble. Even when you're dealing with that person that you just want them to see the truth. You just want them to get the truth. You just want them to get saved. You just want them to understand the truth. And there's that tendency to just try to push and strive. And if I just said it just this way with these words and this argument and this, then they would what? Get it, right? I'm a victim of that all the time. I'm telling you what, right? Even in my notes. Well, how should I say that? It's not, yeah, I have a responsibility as a preacher to preach the word, right? But it is ultimately not my job to convince you of anything. That's the job of God the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay? So we have the issue of corrupt communication. We talked about lying first and not lying and putting away lying. And I gave you three reasons why the truth is important to God. Reason number one is that the truth aligns us with God. God fundamentally is a God that cannot what? Lie. Reason number two, we are redeemed to reflect the character of God. If God can't lie, and He's our head, and Christ is our head in the body of Christ, we should not be lying one to another. And number three, truth-telling is a matter of submission to God's will. Not God's will that I got to go out here and find. Not God's will that I got to go out here and grope around in the dark and hope maybe one day I find it, but God's will that's stated to me right there. God's will for me is to put away what? Lying. God's will for me is to let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth. God's will for me is to not engage in evil what? I don't know about you, but that's pretty much enough to occupy me from now till the rapture. Okay, I don't need to worry about going out here and reading the tea leaves and trying to figure out what God's trying to say to me in the circumstances of my life. I already know right there that I have an instruction to put away lying that's going to basically occupy me from now till I die or till the rapture. So it's God's will. Last week we studied four types of corrupt communication or evil speaking related to lying and truth-telling. Okay? And none of the four make for peace or edify. Just going to tell you what they are. The first one we studied was beguilement. Beguilement is the disseminating of information gleaned from false conclusions. Beguilement is the dissemination of information gleaned from false conclusions. Second, we looked at straight up deceit. Deceit is the willful manipulation and distortion of the facts. Then we looked at lying. These are all the words the Bible uses, okay? We looked at lying, the direct communication of untruth, most often for selfish reasons. And then we looked at the issue of false witness, fourth, the willful false testimony spoken against someone else. There's a difference, folks, in your Bible between lying and false witness. Okay? If my wife comes in and she says, "Who ate all the cookies?" And I say, "I didn't eat the cookies." what I really did, I'm what? I'm lying. That's lying. That is the direct communication of untruth, most often for selfish reasons. I know I'm going to get in trouble because I ate all what? I ate all the cookies, right? That's lying. But false witness would be for me to say, for me to go a step further and to say, Ernie ate all the cookies. Now I'm saying that it's his fault. I know it's my fault, so I'm lying, but I'm going a step further and I'm adding to it false witness against who? Against Ernie, right? That type of corrupt communication, that type of evil speaking, as we've talked about, is not edifying. It does not build up the body of Christ. And I know the chances are pretty high that I probably ate the cookies, not Ernie, okay? So, this morning, we're going to turn our attention to another issue facing us as saints regarding corrupt communication and evil speaking. And that's the catastrophic cousins of gossip and slander. The catastrophic cousins of gossip and slander. Let me just say, before we get into this too much, in the nearly 19 years that I've been preaching and pastoring and trying to lead an assembly, the issue of gossip and slander are two of the biggest things that have caused more trouble in the life of the assembly than anything else. Okay? The issue of gossip, the issue of slander, the issue of people talking to other people about stuff that is probably not really their what? Their business. Okay? So I just have a few questions to get started with this. All right? How many of you have ever heard a rumor? Have you heard a rumor? You know, did you hear about thus and so? All right? How many of you have ever spread a rumor? Don't answer that one, okay? How many of you have ever spread a rumor? Spread something that was maybe not necessarily founded or had no substance to it, right? You're just saying stuff, right? Rumors are the vehicles that turn life into a demolition derby. Rumors are the vehicles that turn life into a demolition derby, and gossip and slander are the tracks on which they travel. Think about a train having two tracks, right? On that track, you've got one track is gossip, the other track is what? Slander, right? And either way, you're going to have a train wreck is what you're going to have, right? When that kind of stuff gets going in your family, when that kind of stuff gets going in the church, in the local assembly, you're going to end up with a train wreck is what you're going to end up with, okay? So the tracks of gossip and slander are littered with carelessness, idle chatter, as well as maliciousness. Look at Ephesians 4, if you're not there. Look at Ephesians 4, look at verse 30 again. No, verse 19. Sorry, verse 31. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. And we tend to forget about the last three words. With all what? Malice. Is malice also supposed to be put away? Okay, so you take that verse and you understand it within the context of verse 25. Wherefore putting away what? Lying. So if I'm to put away lying, am I also supposed to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking also be what? Put away along with what? Malice. Okay? So the tracks of gossip and slander are littered with carelessness, idle chatter, as well as malice and maliciousness. Okay? Rumors, whether true or false, are devastating for many reasons, and one of those reasons being is that they're irretrievable. Okay? Once you say it, once you communicate it, once you make it known, you can't what? You can't take it back. Ephesians 4, again, verse 30. Let all bitterness and wrath and, and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all what? Malice. Malicious speech comes from the central source of all sin, and that's the promotion of who? Yourself. Me, myself, and who? I. Okay? According to Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, the word malice means, here's the definition of the word malice. Here's what that verse is telling you to put away. Okay? Malice means extreme enmity of heart. Extreme enmity of heart, a.k.a. hating someone. Okay? Extreme enmity of heart or malevolence, a disposition to injure others without cause. A disposition to injure others without cause. In other words, they've done nothing to you, they've done nothing to me. Maliciousness or malice would be, I'm going to do, they haven't done anything, but I'm going to do them wrong anyway. That's malice. That's maliciousness. The injury of others without cause. For mere personal gratification or from a spirit of revenge. Does that sound like the flesh to you? Okay. Let me read all that. I kind of broke that down. A disposition to injure others without cause for mere personal gratification or from a spirit of revenge. Do you know somebody who just likes to be mean and seems to enjoy being mean? I've got no particular person in mind. I'm just saying, you know somebody like that. That's malice. Okay? Revenge, we all understand revenge. Revenge is somebody's done something to me and I've got to what? I've got to get him back, right? That's what we talked about a few months back about giving place unto wrath and dealing with conflict, right? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will what? Repay. Therefore, keep coals of fire upon thy head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. Malice is the opposite of that. Okay? And last, unprovoked malignity of spirit. Unprovoked malignity of spirit. Gossip and slander, folks, feed off of our natural flesh brain wiring in the following six ways. Come with me if you would. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Come over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5. So six ways that this works. Six ways that gossip and slander work. First is curiosity. When our curiosity includes seeking, bearing, and disseminating harmful information, then we have moved into the destructive aspect of curiosity. Let's be honest. Are we all curious about stuff? Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5, look with me at verse 13. Paul says, well, verse 11 he says, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Look at verse 13. And with all they learn to be what? Idle. What does idle mean? Doing nothing. Right? I can go out there, turn my car on, leave it in park, or put it in neutral, and the car runs, but it just what? Idles. Just sits there. It's not going anywhere. It's running. It's working. It's doing its thing, but it's not what? It's not moving. It's not going anywhere. It's not doing anything. I'm just going to say, one of the biggest times in your life where you need to watch out for sinfulness is the times in your life when you are idle. When you have nothing to do. I'm not saying don't relax. I'm not saying don't take a break. But what I'm saying, when you have prolonged periods of total idleness where you're not doing anything, you better watch out. Because you're going to find something to what? Do, right? And are there a lot of things out there that you can find to do that aren't good for you, aren't helpful, and aren't beneficial to you spiritually? Okay, he says, but with all they learn to be idle, wandering about. See, they're idle. They got nothing to do. And because they're idle and they got nothing to do, what do they do in the next phrase? Wander. Nothing better to do, so let's just what? Wandering about from house to house. Now, I want to say something real clear here. This message is not about This message is not about, and it is not directed towards women. Men are just as guilty of this kind of stuff as women are. Now, in this context, Paul's talking about women who don't have husbands anymore and so on and so forth, right? But the issue of gossip and the issue of slander are just as much a problem for men as they are for women. But notice the principle here. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but what? Tattlers. Oh, don't you love tattlers? You work with kids and you hear tattling all the time. Frankly, you work with adults, you hear tattling all the time. Okay, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they what? Ought not. Notice how when someone is idle, when they have nothing to do, nowhere to go, nowhere to be, no one to hang out with, and they're just alone, by themselves, all the time, will they find stuff to do? Yeah. And most of the time, the stuff they find to do is maybe not going to be what? I'm telling you, one of the things I appreciate about having a job, having a job that I have to go to, is the fact that I don't have large amounts of idleness in my life. Because I think that if I did, you know, you think, wow, when this happens, when I retire, when this or that happens, I'm just going to live for the Lord all the time. Okay. Maybe you will. Okay. But what I found in my life is the things that I put off and I say, well, when this happens, then I'll do that. When the thing happens that I put off till when it arrives, I still don't do it. That's why I tell people the following about ministry. If you're waiting for all the storm clouds to clear out of your life and for you to just have the primrose, rosy path before you decide to get involved in ministry in the local church, you never will. Because that set of circumstances is never going to what? Happen. There's always going to be something going on. There's always going to be something going on with your job, something going on with your wife, something going on with your husband, something going on with your kids. Something's going to be going on. And if you let that stuff stop you from ministering, you'll never what? You'll never do it, right? He says right here in verse 13, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies. Now let's talk about a few of these words. Notice the links in that verse to gossip, tattlers with curiosity, busybodies. What's a tattler? A tattler is a word that means of persons uttering or doing silly things, gratuitous or babbling. They're just what? Talking. Busybody. The word busybody means busy about trifles and neglectful of important matters. Busy about other folks' affairs. The busybody. Notice the connection in that verse between the curiosity of the busybody being involved in everyone's business, along with the idea of them talking about everyone's business to everyone else, them being a what? A tattler. Come over to Acts 19. Interesting thing here. Come over to Acts 19. Can I just say that social media hasn't made this any better? Okay? Man, I tell you what, I see some of the stuff that people do on social media and I shake my head. I'm like, don't you have a life? Don't you have like a real life outside of this virtual place where you sit all day? Now, I'm on Facebook. I'm on social media. I interact with people. But I got stuff I got to do. I can't just sit there all day with nothing else to do. and watch stuff and listen to stuff and talk to people and so on and so forth, right? Now, I know there are people that do that, and look, that's between you and the Lord. All I'm saying is social media has opened up a portal of access into people's lives for people to be busybodies, to be tattlers in ways that they never would have before all this stuff came about. To know things about people, so on and so forth. Acts 19, look at verse 19. Now here's what I want you to see. Here's what this verse says. It says, many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. Okay? The word that is used there, translated curious arts, it's the same word found in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, to talk about busybodies. That's a translation of the same Greek word. That doesn't sound like something you really want to be too much involved in, does it? Okay? So we got curiosity. Number two is idleness. I kind of already talked about it, but number two is idleness. So remember, I'm talking about how gossip and slander feed off your natural flesh brain wiring in the following ways. Number one was curiosity. Number two is idleness, okay? Paul explains how people with time on their hands may be prone to malicious speech. We just saw that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, okay? So I kind of already talked about that. Number three, a desire to be the center of attention. There's something powerful in having the information that everybody else wants. Somebody tells me something, and they say, "Now don't tell me. It's a secret." Now do you have the information? And you have a sense of power in knowing that information and having control over who you tell it to, when you tell it, how you tell it, and so on. So the third thing is a desire to be the center of attention, right? It's an ego. It's a stroke of the ego to have everyone listening to you. If you're the one who knows the stuff and you're sitting there telling everybody, who's the center of attention? You are. It's an ego stroke. It's a caressing of the flesh, if you will. So here are some examples. Did you hear? Well, I really shouldn't say this, but. Or, can you keep a secret? Okay. Four, it's an opportunity to elevate ourselves over others. It's an opportunity. Gossip and slander are an opportunity to elevate ourselves over others. To speak ill of others is a dishonest way of praising ourselves. I think I'm on five, right? Five is bitterness. Selfishly withholding forgiveness opens the door for a vengeful spirit, and slander is a tool of revenge. Go back to Ephesians 4. You need to think about that. Slander is a tool of revenge. Somebody's done something to me, and I'm going to what? Get them back. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 31 again. Now notice the first thing that's to be put away. And notice the connection in the verse between bitterness and malice. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all what? Malice. Notice there that bitterness or selfishly withholding forgiveness opens up the door to that vengeful spirit. It opens up the door to that malice. It opens up to the door to that idea of that heart of enmity, that attitude of enmity, that your heart in Christ is good. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that you're expressing that bitterness, that hostility, that hatred that you have through malice. And six, six is that gossip and slander soothe our own anxieties. We all know that we have our own stuff that we're either not proud of, not good at, don't do correctly. And to talk about the stuff that other people aren't good at, don't do correctly, and aren't proud of makes us feel better about who? Ourselves. The Scripture talks about all these things. Come back to 1 Timothy, go to chapter 6. Get 1 Timothy chapter 5, and then we'll read verse 13 again, then I want chapter 6, verse 30. That's the wrong verse. There's not six chapters, not 30 verses. Oh, there it is, okay. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 again. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and are not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they, what? Ought not. Now come to chapter 6 and look at verse 20. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain, what? Babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Okay? So there are vain babblings. Vain babblings are empty discussion. Vain, empty discussion. Discussion that is valueless or useless. Come to chapter 2. Second Timothy, come to chapter 2. Verse 15. We all know. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look at verse 16. But shun what? Profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more what? That's true in the realm of doctrine. That's true in the realm of the unrightly divided scripture and theology. But that's also true in your life in terms of just idle what? Idle chatter, useless talk, things that people say. It's going to increase unto more what? You know, you ever notice how people who, we all have lied, okay? But people who habitually lie, they end up needing to tell lies to cover their what? Lies. And then they can't remember which one of them is what? True and who they told what to, right? Notice what that says. It says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more what? Now, I understand the context here. He's talking about something doctrinal. But I'm saying there's also a practical application of that in your life, right? If you're going to engage in things that are useless and not meaningful and are vain, and you're going to be involved in that, is that going to increase unto more what? More ungodliness. But this type of speech, okay, idle chatter and gossip, this type of speech is not always malicious in its intent. Okay? It doesn't necessarily always have to be malicious in its intent. And the words in your Bible associated with this type of speech are frequently translated as either whisperer or talebearer. So look at that. Come with me to Psalm 41. Come over to Psalm 41. Psalm 41, look at verse 7. Notice what it says. It says, all that hate me do what? Whisper together what? Think about that. Are they being open, direct, forthright, and candid? No. The people, now listen to me, the people who love you, the people who care about you, even if there's a problem, are going to be the people that come directly to you and tell you about a situation, a circumstance, or something that's not what? Right. The people that are going to whisper about you behind your back and not deal with you directly Those are the people that hate you. Those are the people that don't really care about you. Those are the people that aren't willing to deal with you directly, honestly, straightforwardly, and what? And candidly. That's what the verse says. Read it again. And all that hate me whisper together against me do they devise my what? Hurt. And you know what gossip does? It hurts. So if believers are going to gossip about each other, is that going to build the body of Christ and promote peace among the brethren, or is it going to do the exact opposite of that? Come over to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. Look at this, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth what? So you tell that guy or that girl, that man, that woman, your secret information at your own what? Risk. Because the definition of what a talebearer does is somebody that reveals your what? Your secrets. Okay? He that goeth forth as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Now watch. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his what? Lips. I gotta be careful what I say about this, but let me just tell you, as a pastor, it's nice to hear that your work and your labor in the Word and doctrine is appreciated. But I've been doing this long enough to know that when my radar goes off that somebody is flattering me in a way that I'm uncomfortable with, that I have to watch out because that person is going to be the first one that stabs me in the back. What does the verse say? Verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his what? Lips. Meddle not. Don't have anything to what? Do with them. Slander. Slander. This category includes the intentional maliciousness. Okay, so let me just back up from that for a minute. Sometimes gossip is just what? Idle what? Idle chatter. It's people not knowing when to put a lid on it, not knowing when to shut up, not knowing when to keep their mouth shut. They're just what? Talking. It's not necessarily intended with maliciousness. Okay? But slander is. Slander is, the definition of slander has tied to it the idea of malicious intention. That's what makes it what? Slander. So gossip and idle chatter are just somebody with diarrhea of the mouth running on, telling everybody what? Everything. Slander is different. This category includes the intention or the intentional malicious communication of bad reports. Okay? The words associated with this type of speech in the Bible are normally translated, shockingly enough, as slander. Come to Psalm 31. Coming to Psalm 31. So understand, can someone, according to the Bible, can somebody gossip without necessarily slandering? Yeah. Okay? Somebody can gossip and be involved in idle chatter and so on and so forth without necessarily being involved in malicious slander or the willful communication of bad reports. Look at Psalm 31, Psalm 31, verse 13. It says here, "For I have heard the what? The slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my what?" So when the Bible wants to talk, when the Bible wants to communicate the idea of evil intent, it uses the word what? slander. Okay, these guys want to kill him. They don't like him. They're devising how he could what? Die. And he's heard all these slanderous reports, he says. Come over to Jeremiah 9. Come over to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, and I want verse 2. I want you to see what a slanderer is. Look with me at Jeremiah chapter 9, look at verse 2. It says, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of what kind of men?" The word, the Hebrew word that is translated treacherous in that verse is the same Hebrew word that in Psalm 31:13 is translated slander. Okay? So if somebody's going to slander, they're dealing with you how? Treacherously. They're dealing with you in a treacherous way if they're going to engage in slander. So we have gossip and we have slander. I want to look more deeply in the time we have left, about 10 minutes. We're probably not going to finish this, which I know you're all shocked about. We're going to deal with the issue of gossip. Come with me to Proverbs 11. The Old Testament has a lot to say about this. Come with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Remember, the things that were written aforetime were written for our what? Learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, right? The Old Testament has a lot to say about these issues. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. It says, "A talebearer revealeth what? Secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth what? So somebody that's of a faithful spirit, your private personal information, they're going to what? They're going to conceal it. They're not going to what? They're not going to tell everyone. What's the talebearer, the gossiper, do? The talebearer revealeth what? There's a passage elsewhere in the proverb in the Bible that says, faithful are the wounds of a what? Friend. I'm telling you, your real friends, according to the Bible, are the ones that are going to be able to talk to you about stuff that's not going to be helpful. Or that might hurt you, I should say. Okay? We all have faults. We all have failings. We all have things that we're not necessarily good at or proud of, right? A friend is going to be the person that's going to tell you to your face what those things are and be honest with you about them, even if it means they're going to be mad at you. The person, the gossip, the talebearer, the slanderer is the one who's going to talk to everybody else about your problem and your fault and your failure. They're going to talk to everybody else, but who? That's why as believers, we need to have some intestinal fortitude to take the admonition of other saints. One of the one anotherings was admonishing what? One another. Okay? So the talebearer, in that verse right there, the word talebearer is a translation. It's a translation of a compound Hebrew word, okay? So I don't want to get too technical, but I want you to understand this, okay? So there's two words in Hebrew that are rendered talebearer in your King James Bible, okay? The first word literally means to walk about. Walking around, to walk about, okay? The second word literally means one who carries tales. So what's a talebearer? One who's walking around doing what? Telling tales. A lot of things people like to lie about, right? How much weight they can lift. How much they weigh. How old they are. and the size of the fish they caught. And every time they tell the story about how much weight they can lift and the size of the fish they caught, it gets what? Bigger, and they get stronger, and it's just wonderful how you can spin a what? Spin up a tail, right? Tail bear is literally the idea of walking about carrying tails. Okay? It's also translated slander in some verses. A tail bear is a person. This is a definition. So in English, here's what the dictionary tells you a tail bear is. A person who officiously tells tales, one who impertinently, that's bad, communicates intelligence or anecdotes and makes mischief in society by his officiousness. Sounds like all of Congress. Okay? Making mischief in society. All right? Come to Leviticus 19. A talebearer. Come with me. It's also sometimes translated slander. Come to Leviticus 19. We're only looking at a few of these things. The Scriptures have a lot to say about this issue. Leviticus chapter 19, look at verse 16. This is God talking to Israel. How Israel was supposed... Now, this is how they were supposed to behave themselves in the congregation of Israel. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Now that's God talking to Israel in time past under the law, right? But does that still seem like good advice to the church, the body of Christ, living in the dispensation of grace? Thou shalt not walk around and be a what? Talebearer. Why? Because being a talebearer doesn't make for peace among who? The brethren. It does not edify the body of Christ. It does not build up the body of Christ. Come back to Proverbs 11. So that right there, that one from Leviticus, that's it. In the local assembly, don't be walking around as a what? Talebearer. Walk around as a talebearer in the local church telling people stuff that doesn't apply to them or they don't need to know is not beneficial to the body of Christ. It's detrimental. It wasn't beneficial to the congregation of Israel in time past, and it's not beneficial to us as saints today in the dispensation of grace. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. We already read this, I suppose. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit does what? So here's what I want you to take from that. God's word teaches that a person who gossips is untrustworthy and cannot keep a what? Secret. They're untrustworthy, and they can't keep a secret. Come over to Proverbs 20, verse 19. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. We already read that one, right? But the idea is a person who gossips is to be avoided. Hearing gossip adds unneeded information to our mental notebooks. These negative thoughts give Satan a foothold in our lives. I don't know about you, but I have a hard enough time keeping everything straight between my ears without hearing stuff about people I don't need to hear. Okay? So what does that mean? That means I know there are places where I work where I'm not going to go. Because there's people in there that are not good for me to be around because I'm going to hear things about them and others and so on and so forth, colleagues, that I don't want to what? I don't want to know. Okay. Now, I'm not trying to be super spiritual or put myself on a pedestal. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give you a practical illustration. So if that means I've got to eat lunch alone, then that's a faith choice. I can make that choice by faith. Okay? Not because I'm trying to be holier than thou and all that sort of stuff, but because I know that if I go in there, it's not going to be spiritually edifying to me. It's not going to build me up. It's going to put things in my mind about people that I work with that I don't want to what? No. And I have a hard enough time with having a good attitude about some of the people I work with without knowing that stuff. Okay? Now, you know what I'm talking about. Come to Proverbs 16. Verse 28. So all the ones we just looked at were of the same Hebrew word. This one's a slightly different word, but it's interesting to consider just this point here. Proverbs 16, verse 28. Notice what it says. A forward man soweth what? Strife. A whisperer separateth chief what? Friends. Okay? A second Hebrew word presents the concept of whispering that is damaging. Notice what it's saying there. This is talking about just not idle whispering. This is talking about whispering that has the negative, detrimental effect of separating what? Friends. Okay? So there's another word here. Whispering is negative in this context. The word denotes confidential communication, non-public information, exclusivism, secretive behavior, and shame. In the Bible, whispering becomes a figurative expression for the sin of gossip, which unfortunately is not always done in a whisper. You understand? Or you could be gossiping like this so everybody can what? Here. The whispering is not talking about the how loud it's being done. It's talking about the fact that it's being done with everybody else other than the person that it should be being done with. Okay? It's not talking about how loud it's being said. The word that's translated talebearer elsewhere in the Old Testament, it's the same word. Come to Proverbs 16. You're in there already. All right, look at verse 28. A forward man sow a strife, a whisperer separate the chief of friends. Chapter 26, that's what I wanted. Proverbs 26. Sorry about that. Proverbs 26. I'm almost done. Where I'm going to get to slander. That doesn't mean you can skip to next Sunday. Okay. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where were no wood, there the fire goeth what? Out. Makes sense. If I don't have any wood, I'm not going to have what? Fire. When the fire consumes the wood, the fire goes what? Out. Okay, look at the comparison. So, when there is no tale bearer, strife, what? Ceases. So tale-bearing in the body of Christ, tale-bearing amongst the saints, gossip amongst the saints, is only going to cause what? Strife. And to get rid of the strife, you have to deal with the tale-bearer. Okay? Come to 2 Corinthians 12. So if tale-bearing if where there's no wood, there's no fire, and if tale-bearing causes strife, does that sound like something that makes for peace and edifies? No. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. Notice what Paul says about the Corinthians. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths. What's the next one? Strifes. What's one of the things that causes strifes in the local church? Talebearing, gossiping, slandering, talking about the other believers in a way that's not dealing with them directly. Okay? Strifes, backbitings, whisperings. I love the next one. Swellings. That's interesting. Tumults. None of that is indicative of peace. None of that is indicative of edification. Okay? Last verse, Romans 1 for this morning. We're not even going to get into slander. We'll have to finish that next time. Romans chapter 1, the idea of whispering and gossip is one of the products of a reprobate mind. This is that old gossip and slander and talebearing and whispering. These are all the old wiring of the flesh in your brain. Okay? Notice what Paul says here. Notice that in Romans 1, verse 28, it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to what kind of a mind? Understand, the natural mind of the unsaved man is totally reprobate. It is totally wired after the course of the world. Okay? Gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient, and being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, malignity. What's the next one? Whispers. The propensity that you and I have to whisper is part of the residual flesh wiring of the old man. Okay? Which is why, now we're really going to close, Ephesians 4, which is why you and I need to be renewed in the spirit of our what? Mind. The way you deal with slander, the way you deal with gossip, the way you deal with talebearing, the way you deal with all of that is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That reprobate mind, that old flesh mind that's wired to the course of the world, one of the things that it does and does real well is whisper. Ephesians 4, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? How do you deal with whispering and talebearing in your life with gossip? You do it on the basis of a what? Renewed mind. You get the verses that we've gone over. You get them into your mind. You get them into your heart. You get them into your frame of reference. And when the stuff comes across the radar of your life, you deal with it on the basis of faith in what God's Word says and don't give place to it. And don't entertain it. But it's just like everything else of the flesh. It's enticing. It's alluring. It's maybe even exciting. It might even give you power over somebody. But none of that makes for what? And let me just say this. As saints, we need to speak the truth in love, right? But if somebody comes to you with an issue and they have the intestinal fortitude to come to you directly and say, hey, so this is going on, this bothers me, I didn't like this, blah, 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 whatever, so on and so forth. That's the person that's coming to you as a friend who's willing to talk to you about it. The people that aren't and are willing to do all this tail-bearing and whispering behind your back, those are the people that aren't really your what? Your friends. The Scriptures will help you identify who your real friends are real quick. If you just by faith apply what the Scripture says. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We pray that as we continue to look at these things, that we'll see very clearly from this Word of God that tale-bearing, whispering, and gossip, slander, and so forth, they don't make for peace. They don't edify. They don't build up. They don't solidify the church, the body of Christ. And the Bible is very clear about how to think about these things. And I know that we've all made mistakes. And I know that we can all rationalize why we do what we do and why we did what we did. That's why we need to renew our minds. That's why we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, to redeem that stuff in the practical functioning of our life. When we hear these things, when we can make decisions about where we're going to go and who we're going to be with and hang out with and so on and so forth, that will impact the way we think, that will impact the way we process and deal with information. We need to be discerning. We need to understand that we have freedom and liberty, but that the freedom and the liberty that we have is not to sow to the flesh, as we saw in Galatians. It's to, by love, serve one another. Pray that we'll understand how the one anothering concepts fit into the issues that we're looking at now practically about corrupt communication and other things. We're great for the time we could spend together in your word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.